This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
I'm Brian Douglas and for Rob Archer. Good afternoon. Thanks for listening. It is 5:03, the latest on the firing of the LA City Fire Chief, Kristen Crowley. We're going to have the possible political fallout from the mayor to the mayor. We'll have all that. Plus, we're going to get a reaction from someone whose home was actually destroyed in the Palisades fire. We're going to hear what he thinks about today's firing. But first, the latest on the big story, Kristen Crowley, who is the LA City Fire Chief during January's Palisades fire, has been canned. As leader of the department, Mayor Karen Bass blamed Crowley for several different problems, among them not calling the mayor who chose to leave LA. Craig Vickner is at the KNX News City Hall Bureau with the latest.
As the mayor of the city, the buck stops with me. I am in charge.
Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass accepted no blame when it came to questions from many reporters about why she was in West Africa as the Palisades fire disaster started. She left the country with National Weather Service forecasts predicting dire, even deadly windstorms.
Every time there was a weather emergency or even a hint of a weather emergency, the chief has called me directly. She has my cell phone. She knows she can call me 24/7. That did not happen this time.
A couple hours before the fire, January 7th, LAFD sent an email to city officials warning of the possibility of disaster. Despite that, Mayor Bass says once the fire started, there were strategic errors. Errors she pins on Kristen Crowley.
A necessary step to the investigation was the president of the fire commission telling Chief Crowley to do an after-action report on the fires. The fire chief refused. We all know that 1,000 firefighters that could have been on duty on the morning the fires broke were instead sent home on Chief Crowley's watch. These actions required her removal.
The two met Friday morning, briefly, maybe less than a minute. This is how she described it, the firing.
And how did the meeting go?
It was very brief.
And the investigation that she didn't participate in,
yes.
How did she not participate exactly?
Well, what I said is that the president of the fire commission told her to do a after action report. She refused to do the report. Next.
At LA City Hall, I'm Craig Figner, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
The LA City Fire Union is outraged over Crowley's firing.
Chief Crowley is being made a scapegoat, and she's being terminated for telling the truth.
Karen Adams was there at the press conference. She has more.
The president of the United Firefighters of L.A. City says Crowley told the truth when she said the fire department was underfunded and lacked the resources to fight the fires. Freddie Escobar says it's the reason 1,000 firefighters who wanted to work the morning of the fires were sent home.
I was here in Los Angeles when they did the recall. We had more members willing to participate than we had seats to put those members in. Is because we didn't have enough engines or trucks. You know why? Because they're in our repair shops, maintenance yard, because we don't have enough mechanics to fix them. Mechanics that were cut by Mayor Bass's budget.
Escobar says, as for the after-action report the mayor says Crowley refused to do, he says it's being done now. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
The other big story of the day has to do with the Menendez brothers. L.A. County D.A. Nathan Hochman says he's going to reject a motion filed by attorneys for Eric and Lyle Menendez for a new trial based on new evidence that was not presented at previous trials or appeals. Pete Demetrio has more.
During the 50-minute news conference, D.A. Nathan Hochman said the decision to submit a motion opposing the granting of a new trial dealt with findings that letters from different sources recently submitted by defense attorneys alleging proof of sexual abuse of the brothers by their father before the 1989 murders of Jose and Kitty Menendez took place were not submitted in a timely fashion through the appeals process or couldn't be authenticated. Hochman went on to say,
much of what they are arguing in this second habeas petition has been already brought to a trial judge who's rejected it, the direct appeal, which is the California Court of Appeal and the California Supreme Court, which has rejected it, back to the California Supreme Court with the first habeas petition, then over to the U.S. District Court and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, rejected.
Hochman said his office would submit paperwork on a motion before a judge for resentencing of the brothers in about 2 weeks, but he noted that legal pathway, as well as a potential clemency release, is in the hands of Governor Gavin Newsom, and if he needs the DA's office input, Hochman said he'll provide it. At the Hall of Justice, I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Now, one legal expert says he's a bit surprised by the L.A. District Attorney's stance on the Menendez brothers' case. Steve Cazares is a partner in the L.A.-based Foundation Law Group.
I actually thought the DA's office may have been a little more sympathetic to some of the evidence, given the nature of the alleged abuse and given kind of the change now in the kind of the public's view about this type of abuse when directed at kind of male youthful victims. You know, back then in the 80s, you know, in some ways the DA's office argued that, well, it's not possible for a young man to be sexually abused. And we know that's nonsense now. But, you know, times have changed, so I thought they may have been a little more sympathetic.
Court hearing on the new trial motion scheduled for sometime next month. Orange County DA Todd Spitzer is calling for Chile to be removed from the U.S. visa waiver program. Spitzer argues that migrants are exploiting the system. Natalie Tavidian has more.
In a letter to Homeland Security and the Department of State, Orange County District Attorney Todd Spitzer alleges several federal agencies have long been aware of the issue and have failed to act on it.
The agreement with the United States and Homeland Security and the State Department is those individuals exercising the opportunity to use this ESTA visa must, the country of origin, must do a criminal background check before we agree to allow that person to come into our country.
He alleges the country of origin, being Chile, hasn't been doing background checks.
We know that the Chilean nationals, organized crime, are engaging in burglary tourism in the United States. And they have just obliterated Orange County.
His remarks follow recent indictments of several Chilean nationals accused of carrying out high-profile burglaries targeting professional athletes. I'm Natalie Tavidian, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
So to come on Nonstop News at 5, we're going to hear from local political analyst Jack Pitney from Claremont McKenna College. We talked to him. We're going to talk to him more about the future of Mayor Bass. Politically, what does this all mean for her? That's on the way. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. And Nonstop News at 5 presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review. Well, it's been a quite the day at L.A. City Hall as Mayor Karen Bass fired Fire Chief Kristen Crowley in a meeting said to have lasted, ready for this, just about 90 seconds. That's it. Mayor Bass accused the chief of failing to deploy thousands of firefighters who, well, could have been available on the morning the Palisades fire broke out. She said the chief had refused to submit an after-action report on the disaster to the fire commission. But Firefighters Union leapt to her defense, calling the firing an outrage, saying that Crowley was dismissed for basically telling the truth. Joining us live now is James Cummings, who actually lost his home in the Palisades fire. James, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. You've been on the air here before. You were on one of our specials that we had with Charles and Margaret on the fire. But thank you for joining us again.
Sure.
What are your thoughts about today's firing? You know, as somebody who actually lost a home, is there some sort of need inside to blame somebody? Is this firing, was this something that was satisfactory to you, or was it not?
It's not satisfactory to me. I'm actually very disappointed in what I'm hearing from the mayor. I mean, I have not heard from her personally, but I hold the blame would be the mayor and the city council for having taken what, if memory serves me correct, $17 million out of the budget of the fire department sometime earlier this year. And I'm just outraged by that. And having been to the remnants, the debris at my home a few times, I mean, one, yes, there was no water there. There was no water deployed on our street. My understanding is that a reservoir above the Palisades was empty for more than a year. I find that totally unacceptable and insane. I do not blame the fire chief. I think that her team and all the people that were working under her up until earlier today were doing the best job they possibly could with the limited resources being allocated by the city.
Let me ask your opinion about the mayor and where she stands. Do you think she should step down? I mean, you mentioned, and of course, I think it's pretty much common sense in this case where the mayor is, I mean, she's the head of everybody. So she's basically responsible for everyone's actions below her, fire chief, police chief, and so forth. Do you think she should resign? Do you see that coming at any point soon?
I don't necessarily see it coming. I think she's a very savvy political operative. I don't know that it would give me any satisfaction. I don't know what additional turmoil would be created by her stepping down. She certainly was out of town when things started, and there was sufficient notice from my understanding from NOAA or whomever else provides the weather information about what kind of issues were coming up, and the mayor wasn't here.
Yeah. Well, we knew about this. You're right.
Contrary to what she had stated earlier on in campaigning, I believe, and being critical of other politicians who were not in the state when certain things happened.
Yeah, and she went out of the country. And we did. You're right. We did know about this wind event. I mean, working at the news station, I mean, we covered this a while before it actually hit. Before I let you go, I just want to ask you how things coming along with you rebuilding the whole process of going through all. I mean, I imagine there's tons of red tape. How are you doing personally?
We visit our house twice. The first was on the 10th of January. That was when we found out it was gone. It was devastating and totally emotionally traumatizing for my wife and I. We were literally back yesterday to try and remove some things from the patio that could be saved, and then got a better chance because the first time we had 10 minutes which was to get medications, which we couldn't retrieve. The amount of debris and how other things have collapsed because of the rain where part of the garage had been up the first time. It's overwhelming, but I think we're kind of emotionally numb to the shock at this point.
Yeah.
But deeply saddened as we drive through the Palisades and look what is now versus what once was.
The community is
traumatized.
Yeah, I can't imagine. James Cummings, thank you so much for taking time. All my best to all of you. I know it's such an uphill battle. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. Really, really do. Let's take a look now at traffic. But first, still to come here on Nonstop News, we're going to talk about Mayor Bass's future after the firing of the fire chief. We're going to hear more from political analyst Jack Pitney from Claremont McKenna College.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
More now on our big story, breaking news we had about 3-4 hours ago, still breaking news for that matter. LA Mayor Karen Bass firing Kristen Crawley as city fire chief. She gave two main reasons for the dismissal, saying the first is to do with the need for a full investigation of the Palisades wildfire.
A necessary step to the investigation was the president of the fire commission telling Chief Crawley to do an after action report on the fires. The fire chief refused. We all know that 1,000 firefighters that could have been on duty on the morning the fires broke were instead sent home on Chief Crowley's watch. These actions required her removal.
I got more on the firing from Jack Pitney. He's a local political analyst at Claremont McKenna College. How much trouble do you think the mayor is in politically?
The mayor has been in trouble ever since the fire. She was out of the country and she left even as the National Weather Service was warning of, quote, extreme fire weather conditions in Los Angeles. And as for the merits of this dismissal, that'll be debated in the weeks ahead. But politically, it only draws more attention to that event. And that makes the mayor look bad.
And like you said, she has looked bad since the fires began. And now this is only kind of snowballing the whole thing. If you were Mayor Karen Bass, what would you do in this case? I mean, you've got the firefighters union coming out for the chief and against the mayor, basically. What would you do in this situation, or what do you think she should do?
One of the basic rules of urban politics, don't get into a fight with firefighters.
Yes.
And firefighters are the most popular municipal employees. Politically, you're always going to lose. Now, as far as an investigation goes, that is absolutely essential, absolutely necessary. That is good public policy. Find out what happened, who failed to do what. But you don't do it in public. You do it carefully to make sure that the next time we have extreme fire weather conditions, and we will, that the city is prepared.
Do you think there's any way possible the mayor could kind of backtrack and kind of bring the chief back? Or do you think that would just be a big red flag, a big no-no? You know, with all this outrage, can the mayor do anything to save what has happened?
I think that bringing the chief back probably would draw even more attention to this controversy. And in a case like this, from this point forward, the best politics is good government. Just do an investigation, find out what went wrong and make it right. And don't pay attention so much to the symbolism of getting rid of an official. Just do the job right.
And get it right the first time. Once again, I just want to ask you, can you foresee Mayor Karen Bass collapsing in all this and maybe resigning or giving up the mayorship?
That would be very much out of character for her. She's had a very long political career, had many ups and downs. But as far as re-election goes, that's very much in doubt at this point.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing from a lot of folks we've been talking to. Jack Pitney, local political analyst, Claremont McKenna College. Good to talk to you again. Thank you for joining us. Let's take a quick look at your money now.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Entertainment Report. Will Hollywood studios be open to doing business with an artificial intelligence company? OpenAI has been making the rounds, pitching its Sora AI generator.
You type a prompt into it saying what you want in your video, and it displays that video. So you can use this to make all sorts of stuff from scratch at a lower cost than actually filming it yourself.
In a recent Screen Time newsletter, Bloomberg's Lucas Shaw explained what's holding studios back from taking the plunge.
They just went through these protracted labor stoppage with writers and actors, AI was one of the big fault lines in those strikes because a lot of people are worried about their jobs getting replaced. I also think studios look at artificial intelligence as they have a lot of new technologies with uncertainty as to what it means. You look at the internet in general, and it has tended to shift power and control from companies that used to be in control to a new crop of players.
The one exception, Lionsgate, which struck a deal with AI startup Runway in September. I'm Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo, KNX News 97.1 FM.
And that's our nonstop news at 5 for this Friday, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.